Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdom of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. Of course, we just heard that story of Jesus in the desert being tempted by the devil. And I was preparing for this weekend. It hit me, maybe that devil's not too smart, because he would have thought he would have picked an easier target than Christ himself. But then it hit me, well, maybe he did learn something, because now he's targeted all of us. If I were the devil, I would want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, so I should set about however necessary to take over the United States. I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you, and I, as I whispered to Eve, "Do as you please, do whatever you like." To the young, I would whisper, "The Bible is a myth." I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good. In the ears of the young couples, I would whisper that work is debasing, that alcohol and parties are good for you. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion, in patriotism, or in immoral conduct. And the old, I would teach them to pray. I would teach them to say after me, "Our Father, which art in Washington." If I were the devil, I'd educate authors on how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd fill TVs and movies with unrealistic sex and violence. And then, if I were the devil, I'd peddle narcotics to whoever I could. I'd sell alcohol to gentlemen and ladies of distinction, and I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. Yes, if I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. And with flattery and promises of power, I could get the courts to rule what I construe as against God and in favor of pornography. And thus, I would evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And then, in his own church, I would substitute psychology for religion. And I would defy science, because that way men would become smart enough to create superweapons, but not wise enough to control them. And if I were Satan, I would take from those who have and I would give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. Then I would discourage marriage and separate families. In other words, if I were Satan, I'd just keep on doing what he's already been doing. Brothers and sisters, those were not my words. Those words were broadcast by legendary ABC radio commentator Paul Harvey on April 3rd of 1965, almost 54 years ago. Yet they ring so very true today. We hear in our gospel that Jesus was led into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. If anyone here has any doubts, let me say loudly, Satan is as real and active today in our world as he was 2,000 years ago, or as he was 54 years ago. And he is relentless in his temptations. We see his handiwork everywhere in our own lives, everywhere in the world. His work is on grand display right here within our own Catholic Church. Every day he seems to bring new accusations of sexual abuse by our clergy, our inaction from our leaders. Inaction that has caused so much pain to so many of our brothers and sisters. Yes, it seems Satan has had great success. Just in the past weeks, there were stories in our news that seized our imagination and broke our hearts. Politicians who call themselves Catholic encouraging the state of New York to allow aborting babies up until the moment of birth. Christians in Congress voting down laws that would ensure medical care for any infant that might survive an abortion. Yes, Satan is indeed very active. But Satan is also in action. He is within each of us and our civic leaders who don't speak up and simply watch this evil take place. Satan is distraction. He is a media obsessed with violence and gossip, but which pays far less attention to the dignity and value of life at any age. Satan is the ignorance, selfishness, and self-indulgence of our time. And Satan, his absence, the absence of real faith, the absence of responsibility, the absence of empathy, the absence of action, the absence of prayer. He is a voice that whispers to each of us, someone else will solve it. It's not your problem. Move on. Forget it. Just take care of yourself. Lent is a time for us to reflect deeply. We as a people and as a culture need to turn away from the sins of our age and all the inaction and distraction, all the ignorance and absence. We can't go on this way. Lent is a time for reckoning. Lent is a time to consider our own spiritual health, the spiritual health of others, the spiritual health of our country and our world. All this is Satan's handiwork. After all, he is the master of misdirection. And at a time when we desperately need to hear God, the noise has become overwhelming. He distracts us by sowing disagreement, dishonesty, mistrust, and hate. So we become unwilling to even hear each other, even becoming deaf at times to our own Creator, the one who loves us without fail. While there are no easy answers, I suggest there is one answer we can all agree on. It stands right here before us right now. It is the cross. It is our true north. We must look to the cross, and we must look to what followed 3 days later. Take comfort and courage in knowing that Jesus has conquered death, and that death does not have the last word. And that is what Lent is leading us to. The great message of Easter, the triumph of the cross, the triumph of love over evil. It was just a few days ago, on Ash Wednesday, that we were each marked with the cross. We proudly proclaimed to all who saw us that we belonged to Christ. But now, those ashes are gone. How do we proclaim to the world now that we belong to Christ? This Lent, for the sake of the cross we wore on our brows, we need to pay more attention to what God is telling us in Holy Scripture and in the teachings of His Church. This Lent, in the spirit of conversion and repentance, we need to give up doing the same things over and over again, yet expecting a different result. And this Lent, besides giving alms to those in need, we must also give voice to the gospel, to Christ, and His great love for all. We need to make Christ's voice alive, through our own voices, but just as importantly, through our actions. In doing this, we may give one more thing this Lent. We can give God's children of any age a chance to survive, a chance to thrive, and to have what Christ wants for all of us, a life filled with love and joy, with the promise of eternal salvation. And like Jesus in our gospel today, we need to recognize evil and be prepared to defy the many temptations of the devil. Yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to reflect. We need to listen to the one who gave his life for us. But we also need to act and to speak loudly. Even if the cross can no longer be seen on our forehead, by our baptism, we have each been marked for Christ. We must proclaim him always as our Lord and Savior of the world. We must continue to repent and to believe in the gospel.